It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at Central Time, we'll find out why big banks have such a hard time saying sorry for bad behavior and why that matters.
But first, on Friday, a federal appeals court reinstated Wisconsin's voter ID law less than 8 weeks before the November 4th midterm elections.
Last April, a federal judge issued a stay on the law saying it would disenfranchise thousands of eligible voters. However, the Republican-controlled legislature said the law is needed to help stop voter fraud.
Joining us now is J.R. Ross, editor at WisPolitics.com. Welcome to Central Time, JR.
Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good, thanks. So we had a very swift decision last week, about 5 hours of oral arguments and a decision dropping Friday night. So it was pretty quick. How unusual is it to get a decision like this so close to the November election?
Just to have a decision that quickly in anything is pretty unusual. In the cases that I've covered with the appeals court, the only thing that comes close was a case involving a state employee you might remember was convicted of a bid rigging scheme under Governor Doyle. The appeals court said that morning in the arguments that the evidence was beyond thin and had a decision to have a release by that afternoon. That's the only thing I can think of that comes close to this in the speed in which the court acted. Usually it's days or weeks before there's a decision come down.
Now, the court had asked whether Wisconsin was ready to implement this law. The argument or the answer there from the state was, yes, we are. What do you think about that the readiness of Wisconsin at this point?
Well, they're scrambling a little bit. I mean, you just talked to some local clerks today. They're talking about things like needing to hire more workers for the polling places on election day, needing to increase dramatically the amount of training that they do because they do these sessions every October to kind of make sure folks remember the procedures, what you have to do. Remember, you have to sign a poll book when you go in the polling place now, things like that. Now I have to add in this other request, what forms of ID are acceptable, how you have to approach this, just to make sure people know what to expect. If you remember, we've only had one election that this requirement was in place for. That was the February 2011 primary. Low turnout rates, not a whole lot of action. So we're not really familiar with it as in terms of election workers in Wisconsin. They're not fully, haven't had a good trial run, if you will, in a long time and how this is going to operate.
Reporters have said from the Journal Sentinel that there are some 12,000-ish ballots, absentee ballots, that have already been sent out. Is there any word from the state about how it will deal with that, given that they don't include any instructions about how to vote with the new voter ID law?
Not yet. Government Accountability Board officials were meeting, actually started about an hour ago, to kind of start going over those issues. What do we do? And they hope to have media availability tomorrow to explain to us what they're trying to do. Also hope to have advice sent to clerks by tomorrow to tell them what they should be doing. You know, I talked to the Madison City clerk today. She said they had 3,000 ballots ready to go. They hadn't sent them out yet because they're due on Thursday. Now they're wondering, they're getting calls from people saying, okay, look, I sent your request for an absentee ballot before. Do I have to send a new one? Because I didn't have, with this new decision in place, like, what do I have to do? In other places, if you sent them out, is that ballot still going to be good? Do you have to send a new one? Do you just send them follow-up directions? What do you have to do to comply with this law? It could be a little bit sticky for some of those ballots to make sure it all works out correctly.
Now, I understand that the panel made this decision on the grounds, partially at least, that there is a new mechanism in place in Wisconsin for citizens to get an ID without paying anything. Do we know what that system is so far, how it works? What do we know about it?
The Walker administration has kind of outlined how this will work. Now, remember, we had different cases challenging the voter ID law. One was in state courts, and the state Supreme Court essentially ordered Wisconsin to make this fix, if you will, to make the law constitutional in their eyes. So what you have to do, if you don't have a birth certificate, which is what's needed to get a driver's license normally, you can show other birth information to officials. So they can then take your name and run them through databases to find records of your birth. That could be things like, baptismal records, school records, other things for those who never got a birth certificate. Then they can, it's a waiver process essentially to say, okay, you don't have this normally required form. We'll do this for you for free. Then you'll have the documentation you need to get the free ID. Now, it still could be somewhat time consuming, and there's another concern for some folks of how's that going to work? How long will it take to get an ID from the day you walk in the door with your other forms of identification until you walk out with ID in hand?
Do we know anything about whether or not there'll be an appeal?
Always possible. They could go out to court with a number of things. I mean, that question we just talked about, how much time will it take between you when you walking the documents, giving your ID, is that an issue? Is it an issue for those 11,800 ballots that have already been sent out? It's hard to say for sure, but you're in a narrow window. One thing that the Seventh Circuit said on Friday was they didn't decide the merits of the case in general, but what they did say was it is extremely likely that the state will prevail in its appeal of the decision by Judge Adelman to overturn the law. So it shows you that that three-judge panel is very much inclined at this point to say, no, that law is valid. And what one of the reasons they're saying that is because it is very closely related to the Indiana law, which the U.S. Supreme Court has already upheld.
Now, this was heard by a three-judge panel. Is there any chance that this could be heard from a bigger group of people from the appeals court?
They can always make that request. The court doesn't have to accept it or do it. So, and that's the other thing. This court was unanimous in saying, look, this is just like the Indiana law. It's already passed the U.S. Supreme Court, so what's different here? They're a little bit critical of Judge Adelman for deciding that this law is unconstitutional because of those parallels to one case that's already been before the U.S. Supreme Court.
So these laws have already, well, a couple of other voter ID laws have been passed, have stood up in court. Can we learn anything from those states about how it may have been implemented so far?
You know, possibly. That's what the GEB is trying to figure out right now. Like, what are they going to do? And remember, we kind of went through this process back in 2011 once that law was passed and passed quickly when Republicans took over control and in place for the February election. They did some dry runs there. Of course, the big issue back then and what election officials have said since then was they need time to educate voters about what they need. Most of us do have an ID, and you know it's not that hard to pull it out of your wallet, your purse when you go vote. But in that case, that decision that Judge Adelman laid down, he knew there were about 300,000 people who didn't have that kind of identification. What happens to those folks? How do you get them? It also becomes incumbent upon the parties, campaigns to try and find their voters, their supporters, who may don't have an ID and make sure they get one, or what can they do to help those guys get to the polls, get their ID first, get to the polls on that Tuesday the 4th. So those are things they're kind of working through right now.
Now, the judges in their order said that recent changes made to the law by the Wisconsin Supreme Court reduced the likelihood of irreparable injury. Is that specifically in regards to the IDs, or are there other instances of injury that we're looking at addressing here?
That's specifically about the fix the state Supreme Court required. If you go back to those oral arguments for the state Supreme Court a few months back, Justice Pat Rogensack really raised a concern that the process that had been in place before where you had to pay for your birth certificate amounted to a poll tax. So what she crafted in this decision was a way to address that issue. So she's saying, look, you can't require people to pay the government a fee to vote. By requiring them to pay for their birth certificate, you're doing that. This is a waiver process to get your documentation for free, to get your ID for free, to be able to vote. Address that poll tax issue that she kind of raised in oral arguments.
All right, we'll leave it there, JR. Thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Have a great day.
That was JR Ross, editor at wispolitics.com.